we are joined in studio by Valley sports icon, chairperson of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, the one
His
and
name's
only.
Name's on the court yes, at the Hall of Fame.
It is. Jerry Colangelo's in studio with us. Jerry, thanks so much for coming
Good
in. Great
morning.
To see you.
It's always great to be here.
We have so many places we could go on discussions with you. Where would you like to start? I do. I know where I want to start.
You start.
At the beginning of this basketball season, the Suns organization transformed the Ring of Honor. They went to the permanent banners, and you were part of that celebration, obviously. I would love to get your thoughts on that night and just that kind of kinship between the Ring of Honor members for the Phoenix Suns. I got an opportunity to be there and witness it up close and personal, and it was a special night for anybody who's followed this organization for a long time.
For sure, and I think it was a big plus to transform the identification within the arena to the banners. I think that was a great thing. And by the way, I think a lot of good things have happened with the change of ownership in terms of the direction of the organization and the commitment that Matt Ishbia and his brother have put forth. And so, yes, there is a kinship with the people who are represented in the Ring of Honor. It's a lot of history, for sure.
Definitely.
And many, many stories. And so it's always great to get back and meet with people that you haven't seen for a while. It's a wonderful thing. And I think that kind of identity builds tradition for an organization. And that's happening here.
Right. Well, I think one of the last times I saw you, we were at a golf event when we all got the terrible news that Walter Davis had passed. Mm-hmm. And I know that Walter, for Suns fans who didn't see him, you missed out on well, he was Michael Jordan's favorite player, a lot of people's favorite player. It kind of speaks right to that kinship and the lineage that you built here. And this family is very, very special.
Yes. You know, Walter was one of my favorite players ever, you know, with the Suns. He was a high draft pick. He came in and was Rookie of the Year, averaged 25 a game as a rookie, and had one of the, talk about Sweet D, one of his nicknames. His shot, his jump shot was as pure as silk. No doubt about that. And so, and he was a kind soul. He really was. Good person. He had some challenges a little later on in his career. That's not unusual, you know, for many athletes because of the pressures, the money, the things that go on in their lives. So, felt badly about that, but you know, I got to see him before he passed, and that was a great moment. You're referring to that event that right. took place that Jimmy Walker put on
right.
at the Biltmore, and I'm very happy that he's being moved forward, and I'd be shocked if he didn't get elected. That's
nice.
My opinion.
Into the Hall of Fame.
So, yes.
That's great.
Definitely worthy. We're talking with Jerry Colangelo here during Newsmakers Week, day three on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You talked prior about the history that's being built with the Suns, right. and now it's franchise for well over 50 years, so the history is there. The one thing that's missing from the franchise history, of course, is a championship banner.
Right.
From your perspective, you talked about the positives under this new ownership group with Matt Ishbia. How equipped do you think this version of the Phoenix Suns is to win that first title?
They have as good a shot as anyone else. So you can't say that they're the leader in the clubhouse or anything like that, because you can see where they are and their struggles that they've had. We haven't really seen enough time together, even for the big three, yeah. so to speak. But even if they were healthy, there's some other ingredients that are required to get to the promised land, and it relates to the bigs, and it relates to defense. So if they can shore up in that sense, mm-hmm. there's never going to be a problem in scoring, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I sure would like to see Beal be able to play for an extended period of time. I've always been a Beal fan. He was to play with the Olympic team two or three times, and injuries prevented him from doing so.
I think it was COVID the last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. He was at training camp in Vegas, and we had to send him home because of the COVID.
Yeah. Speaking of defense, there wasn't a lot of that seen during the All-Star game, and it's really not a platform for defense, but what I want to bring up is at one point in time, the NBA was way too defensive-minded. You chaired a committee, and you instituted help implement some changes that opened up the game, that made it much more aesthetically pleasing. There are people who think maybe it's gone too far, that maybe we have too many three-point, too much offense, not enough defense. Do you think the NBA should be, the concern might not be the right word, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think they should continue. The league should always continue. Every league and every sport look for ways to improve, look for ways to tweak. And so when we made all the changes, 20 some years ago, that's because we had terrible looking basketball. The shot selections, the percentages, the mugging in the paint. It wasn't a pretty sight. Isolation basketball. Mm-hmm. You can thank Don Nelson for creating that situation. But, we addressed it. We made a whole bunch of changes. And by the way, that it happened at the Phoenician here in Phoenix because I called a committee after David Stern and I met in New York. I said, David, I'm a little turned off right now on the game. I said, and I'm how much I love the game. He said, well, what do you think we need to do? I said, we have to really shake it up. And so I brought about 12 people in who were, in my opinion, really terrific basketball minds. And we did a lot of things. We eliminated the defensive guidelines that no one really understood, including referees. We made the rules change so much that guards had a chance to play again, the point guards. And it was good timing because along came Steve Nash, who took advantage of that.
Yep.
But prior to that, the muggings that took place in the paint were terrible. We speeded up the game. 10 seconds to advance the ball, we went to 8-9 seconds. And so I was pleased with the developments. What we didn't know or could have projected is how the three-point shot would become such a, I thought it would be a home run element. Mm-hmm. It's a way to come back in the game when you're down. The ball goes up, an opening tap, and someone comes down and shoots a 30-footer. That's it. So that part of it I'm not happy with. I wish there was more control over that. Being in Indianapolis for that weekend, although I didn't see any of the events, I was busy with things I had to do, press conference and a breakfast meeting. I just think that they have to take a hard look at the weekend and really do more than tweaking it because I didn't like what I saw.
Yeah.
I want to ask you more about that. And Jerry's been kind enough to stick around for a second segment with us today here on Newsmakers Week. So we'll continue our discussion with Jerry Colangelo on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Newsmakers Week with Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
Yeah, we get to continue our conversation with the great Jerry Colangelo, who's in studio with us for a second segment. Jerry, thanks again for coming in. Great to see
you. Sure. My pleasure.
You set me up for where I was going with my next question. Mm-hmm. You talked about NBA All-Star Weekend. The reviews were not favorable, even from the commissioner, Adam Silver, a lot of fans who watched the weekend, and especially the game. And I want to focus on the actual All-Star game. You've had your hand in fixing a lot of things in sports over the years. You've referenced some of them this morning. Is there a way in your mind, in today's climate, with so much money at stake for these players and health and all of that, is there a way to fix the NBA All-Star game?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'd like to hear from people who are really involved in it now. What are their thoughts? The money is so big now that the players are making, and it's a different game. It's a different attitude. There's a lot of things that are different from 10, 20, 30 years ago. There was a time when it was a lot more competitive. for sure. And they addressed that. They you know, like prize money to make it more competitive. But it wasn't enough to do make that kind of a change. You can't play with it that much. You know, either straighten it out or don't do it at all and come up with another means by which you could promote the game on All-Star Weekend. Maybe it doesn't include a game among the players, but just skills. I don't know. But they can't continue exactly as it is because in watching the game on TV, it just wasn't good to see.
No. And for, you mentioned three-point shots being too prevalent in the game. 97 three-point shots by one team.
That's unbelievable. You
get one team shot 97 threes in that game?
The Eastern Conference went 42 for 97 from
three-point
range.
Oh, my goodness. All right. In terms of your reign as chairman of USA Basketball, you really reset the Olympic program and got it back on higher ground to the point now where there's lines of players trying to get into the Paris Games. When you look back on that, where does that rank in your list of personal achievements?
Well, I think the first one, and you were involved with the first one in terms of China. After the dismal showing by the 04 team in the Olympics in Greece, and now he was asked to take over the program, and I said I would, but under certain conditions, we were deemed afterwards the redeem team. Well, I use this, and it's exactly how I felt. We changed the culture. Coach K was the right guy to help me do that. We had to earn back the respect of the world basketball community. We did that by showing respect to them. And so on the day that, you know, we won, and it wasn't that easy. You know, we had beaten Spain big time earlier, a few days earlier, and here we go. We had to really struggle to win it because it was a great, great game. The medals were being awarded. The Star-Spangled Banner was being played. The whole scene, what went through my mind was very seldom does someone have an opportunity to have that kind of responsibility, take it very personally. Have a plan, watch it executed, and get the desired result. So it didn't get any better than that. Now, I loved each of the wins that we had in the Olympics, all four of them, 8, 12, 16, and 21 because of COVID.
That's right.
And then some couple of world championships also. I loved every minute of it because that's been in my blood. You know, the game has been in my blood, and I owe so much to the game. So I felt good in leaving. And then also giving the reins to Grant Hill, who I think will do a terrific job. And, Bick, you said that, you know, players are lined up. From everything I know, that's true. Again, money is going to play a role in this thing. And fear of injuries and getting insurance now is like $1 zillion. I mean, it's really out of hand. So there's going to continue to be challenges just because that's the way it is. But I like our chances for sure.
Jerry Colangelo in studio with us for Newsmakers Week 2024. Also still involved with the athletic program at Grand Canyon University. And we had Bryce Drew on earlier this week. We had Brian Mueller on. And what a season the Lopes are having. 24-2. There's talk, although I don't think GCU should test that theory, but there's talk, even if they don't win the WAC tournament, their resume is so strong that they would get in as an at-large, which would be unheard of from a team from that conference. But how proud are you to see where this whole process is? And there was very, very clearly stated goals for that program about 10 years ago with the move to Division I, and it looks like it's on track.
Well, Brian came to see me after he had taken the reins at Grand Canyon, and it was still just a small little 800 student college at the time. And he had a vision, and he shared it with me, and I bought into it, and he asked me to join up. And I went on the board. I didn't like board work. People sit around and don't know what the heck they're talking about. And, I mean, it's a joke. That's my experience on board.
No, you're right on the money.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but It's a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. And so he said, would you be help me build a business college? And I said, great, I'd love to do that. Pass on what I've learned over the, you know, decades. And he named a school in my honor, and it's one of the great business schools in the country today. And I enjoy the involvement with the young people, and I'm around, and I'm available. And he asked me to be involved in the sports, in particular basketball. And I have. I mean, I've been very involved, you know, selection of coaches, building program, getting us into Division I mm-hmm. at the time, which was part of the game plan. And we did that in a 3-month period, which was definitely never heard of before. A lot of great things have happened there. And by the way, I consider the Grand Canyon story one of the great stories, not only in the state of Arizona from a business point of view, but in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a school that gets $0 from the government and does it all on their own. They create the revenue with online revenue. A couple of $1 billion in infrastructure has gone into a 400-acre-plus piece of property. We're going to be 40,000 to 45,000 before mm-hmm. it's over. There's over 100,000 online. Everybody knows about Grand Canyon now. It's really interesting. Yeah. And that's fun for me.
It's an amazing success story.
Yeah.
I listen to you speak, and I think about your journey, and I think about how you came here with a bunch of suitcases and maybe, $400 or $500 in your pocket, right?
I didn't have that much money. I had $300.
And then you look at where the place, what has happened here now. How do you reflect? What do you begin to think about when you look at what has become largely because of your labors?
Well, first of all, I feel really blessed. I mean, in terms of where I came from, what sports did for me, you know, gave me opportunity to get an education. I met my wife of 60 plus years at the University of Illinois after transferring from Kansas, where I was to be the outside shooter for Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh.
And boy, if they had 3-point shots then, I would have been
that's right
in the money.
That's but, right.
So I came here, and you know the story, that I saw a blank canvas when I arrived for the interview, and that you could paint your own portrait because it was a young, bustling Western city. And I felt very good about the selection, about, you know, leaving Chicago, not going to Milwaukee, but coming to Phoenix. And it's been a terrific, terrific time for me, my family, helping grow the city in so many different ways, being responsible for a lot of the pro teams, obviously, winning a World Series and with the Diamondbacks, which was a big thrill. You know, the Suns have been who I am for 50 plus years. So I feel very blessed.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And we got
a chance. We're blessed to have you, Jerry.
Yes,
so thank you.
We got a chance, Bick and I did, got a chance at your luncheon back in October to express those thoughts on stage. So again, from all the sports fans in the Valley, thank you. And thank you for being here today.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Guys.
We appreciate it.